Greetings, and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and I want to welcome you today and thank you for joining us on this program brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. We are currently in a study of the book of Revelation, and we have come to the pinnacle of the book, and Revelation chapter 20 is where we are at. And so if you have a Bible, you can open it up to that very chapter, and I'm going to pray for us, and then we will get right into our study today. So let us pray together. Our Father, we come today thanking you for the opportunity to, Lord, just to gather together around the radio, ultimately around your word. And Father, as we come together today and we break the bread of life, we get into the book of Revelation again. Lord, I pray that you would give us clarity, give us, Lord, the understanding that we need. We live in a day, Father, when there is a huge falling away. There is a departure from the truth, people that will not endure sound doctrine. And so, Lord, it's our desire to enforce good, solid doctrine in the lives of people. And so I pray that you'll take this today and that you will use it for your honor and for your glory. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I said, we are in the book of Revelation. This is the Millennial Kingdom of Jesus Christ, part 2. And so we're looking at Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. So if you are able to open up your Bible, you can turn there. Let me give you a little bit of an introduction, bring you up to speed as to where we're at. Last week in our study, we started into Revelation 20, where we were looking at the preparations for the establishment of the Millennial Kingdom of Jesus Christ. In our study last week, we looked at how there are many who disagree with the literal interpretation of this section, which we are in, and there are many who do not believe this section is prophetic. To be more specific, we looked at a group known as amillennialists. The teaching of these people is very popular today. Augustine and the Catholic Church have been the main reason for the rise of amillennialism. They believe, and I want you to listen to this because this is so very important, they believe that Satan was bound at the cross when Jesus Christ was crucified. And they also believe that is when the kingdom of Jesus Christ began. They see the kingdom as a spiritual kingdom in which Jesus Christ reigns from heaven through his church. They don't see that there is a thousand-year reign that is coming. Watch verses 1 and 2 of Revelation chapter 20. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. The amillennialists believe the 1,000 years spoken of here are not literal, but instead refer to an extended period of time, thus believing the kingdom began at the cross and will continue until Jesus Christ returns one day and judges the entire world. These people deny the 7 years of tribulation as well as the earthly reign of Jesus Christ. Many of them believe the tribulation period already took place, and they will reference the Roman Emperor Nero, and they say whenever Rome came into Jerusalem in AD 70, that was the fulfillment of the judgments of the book of Revelation. The problem is, the book of Revelation was written in 95. That took place in 70. So that would mean that Revelation would be a book of history, not a book of prophecy. And so that creates all kinds of problems. They also teach that the chain in the hand of the angel here is the gospel, and it is the church who is responsible for restraining Satan's influence. I want you to listen to the words of an amillennialist. Okay, these are not our words. This is not what I believe. This is an amillennialist, and I want you to listen to what he says, and I quote, "There has been a binding of Satan. It is such a binding that he cannot touch a Christian." We read in Revelation 20 that Satan is also bound as far as deceiving the nations is concerned. Where previously he had completely deceived the Gentile nations, now, that would be after the cross, he could no longer do so. This does not mean that no one within a nation could not be deceived. there might be many within a Gentile nation that would be deceived by the cunning of Satan, even though Satan is bound as far as the individual Christian is concerned. Yet a Christian may, for a period of time, or concerning a certain doctrine, be deceived. So also in regard to the nation. It simply means that Satan would no longer be in complete control of the nations as he was before the coming of Christ, unquote. So I wonder what the amillennialists would do with Paul's writings whenever he says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, is the prince of the power of the air, not was, but is. So the amillennialist teaches that the binding of Satan happened at the cross, but they also teach that he's still able to influence people and nations. So that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Watch 1 through 3 of Revelation 20. Let me catch 1 and 2 again if I could. Now watch this. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So God goes to great lengths here to make it very clear that when this happens, Satan will have absolutely no influence in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God tells us he's bound, shut up, and he's sealed. Three things. And watch verse 3 again. And cast him in a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So he's bound, he's shut up, and he's sealed. And so God wants us to understand that in the kingdom, when Christ sets up his earthly reign, that there will be no satanic influence. None. There's also another group who do not accept the kingdom of Jesus Christ as being a literal 1,000-year kingdom. They're known as postmillennialists. These people believe the kingdom exists today and that through the preaching of the gospel, the entire world will be Christianized. They believe Jesus will return after a long period of righteousness and peace, which they call the millennium. These people look forward to a golden age of prosperity in this present church age. Listen to an unknown writer, and I quote, "The millennium to which the postmillennialists look forward to is thus a golden age of spiritual prosperity during this present dispensation," that is the church age. "This is to be brought about through the forces now active in the world. It is to last an indefinitely long period of time, perhaps much longer than 1,000 years, a literal 1,000 years. The changed character of individuals will be reflected in an uplifted social, economic, political, and cultural life of mankind. The world at large will then enjoy a state of righteousness, which up until now has been seen only in relatively small and isolated groups. For example, some family circles and some local church groups and kindred organizations. This does not mean that there will not be a time on the earth when every person will be a Christian. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that there will be a time when every person will be a Christian." That's what he says. "Or that all sin will be abolished. But it does mean that evil in all of its many forms eventually will be reduced to a negligible portions. That Christian principles will be the rule, not the exception. And that Christ will return to Christianize the world. The return of Jesus Christ will be immediately followed by a general resurrection, a general judgment, in the introduction of heaven and hell in their fullness," unquote. To me, it's reading things into the Word of God that are not there. You know, I've always said this, that if you were to take a new believer and you were to hand him a Bible and he was to sit down and he was begin to read. He was to begin to read. And let's put him in the book of Revelation. That man would, without a doubt, understand the book to be literal. Without any outside influence, he's going to take it literal. Just like you sit down and read the newspaper. Could you imagine if you read the newspaper and it said that the President of the United States was going to fly to China? And then somebody came to you and they said, well, that's not what that really means. What it really means is that the Secretary of State is going to take a bus trip and go to California. That's what it really means. That's, in a sense, you say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, so is taking God's word and twisting it around and not taking it literal. God intended us, unless the context states that it's allegory, unless the context states that it means something else, we are to understand it as to be literal. There's another group, and that's the group we fit into. They are premillennialists. That's what we are. We believe that Jesus Christ will return at the end of the tribulation, and he will then bind Satan and establish his kingdom on the earth. And he will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Listen to this conversation in Luke 19:10-15, between Jesus and his disciples. Listen to this. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because, listen to this, they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, catch this, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, but that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. In this parable, Jesus made it very clear that he would not receive the kingdom until he returned. That's the teaching in that parable. It would not be at the cross, but it would be at his return after the ascension and after the tribulation. Now, there's something else in this text that we've not looked at, and I believe we need to see it. I'll call it the 75 days after the tribulation. 75 days after the tribulation. Let me remind you of this. There are 3.5 years of tribulation. That'll be 1,260 days. Okay, keep that in your mind. 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's the last half of the tribulation. 1,260 days. Now listen to what Daniel wrote in Daniel 12:11-12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination maketh desolate set up, that there should be 1,290 days. Okay, now watch, listen. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Here we see that there are 30 extra days after the tribulation. Then we see that there are an extra 45 days beyond the 30. This raises a question. What is the purpose for the extra days? Why are there 75 extra days at the end of the tribulation period? What's going to happen in that period of time before the kingdom is established? What's going to happen? There must be something for us to see here, for we can clearly see 3 distinct periods of time. Now, there are those who say these numbers all refer to the same period of time, but I cannot believe that because they are called out distinctly. Let me talk first to you about the extra 30 days. This seems to be a time, the first 30 after the tribulation, after Jesus returns. This seems to be a time when Satan is bound and the judgment of the nations will take place. Matthew 25:31-41 say this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them, On the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So I give you that. I give you that text out of Matthew 25 to show you that in these 30 days, this event will most likely take place. There will be the resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the saints of the tribulation who are martyred for their faith. These individuals will be resurrected. Their works will be judged, and they will then be rewarded. And then those that judgment of the nations that I read for you out of Matthew 25 shows that those that survived the tribulation period, some of them will be saved, some of them will not. Those that are saved will be ushered into the kingdom. Those that are not saved will be damned to hell. So in that 30 days, you probably have those judgments. But what about the extra 45 days beyond the 30 days? Let me read a verse for you from Daniel again. Daniel 12:12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Here we see that those who come to these 45 days, they will be blessed. Let me just give you my thoughts on these days. I believe in this time Jesus will take his throne, and all the saved will receive their blessed orders of service for the kingdom age in these 45 extra days. The positions are going to be handed out. The service for the Lord. Listen to Matthew 25:14-23 again. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, listen to this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So, the service that we perform here and our faithfulness here will determine the service that we have there, the opportunity that we have to serve in the kingdom. We will be given something to do, without a doubt. We will all receive something to do, those of us that know Christ as Savior. We will receive something. And I think that's going to be determined. I think there's something else here. The appointed positions. Watch chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 4a. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Stop right there. The question here is, who are these whom John saw sitting on the thrones? And I believe if we search the scriptures, we can answer that very question. First of all, probably the church. Listen to the words of Jesus to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2:26-29. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as vessels of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father? And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen to what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in chapter 3 of Revelation 21:22. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now listen to what Paul wrote to the saints at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye worthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more these things that pertain to this life? So some of those on the throne, no doubt, are the church. Another one is David. Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Ezekiel 37, 24 and 25. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. So without a doubt, David will sit on a throne in a kingdom. Another one is Old Testament saints. In a kingdom, there will be princes and governors given different authority by Jesus Christ. Luke 19:12-19 says this. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, what, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise, be thou also over 5 cities. Listen to me. There is going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. It's literal. It is a literal reign. That is, it is spoken of, I believe, about 6 times in this text. 1,000 years. That's not figurative. That's not to be taken as a long period of time. It is a literal earthly kingdom in which you and I will rule and reign with our Savior in that kingdom, along with Old Testament saints and tribulation saints. We will be together in that kingdom. We will be together. Conclusion. Romans 5, 9 through 11. Listen to it. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Listen to me. When you come to Christ, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you don't just get restored what was lost in Adam when he sinned. But we get much more. Much more. That's what Paul says in Romans 5, 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled. So there is much more for us. You're not just going to, we're not just going to be restored back to the way it was before man was lost in Adam, whenever Adam sinned. It's going to be so much more. Part of the much more is to rule and reign with Christ in the coming kingdom and with all the Old Testament saints, the church saints and the tribulation saints. It's all part of it. God has so much for us. So much. Which brings me to this point. Are you saved? Are you 100% sure that whenever you die, that you will enter into the presence of God? I will say this. If you have never trusted in Christ as your Savior, and you die, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell. You cannot get into the presence of God with sin on your account. It's impossible. Your sin has to be paid for, and there's only one way to get your sin paid for and washed away, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's it. That's it. You need Him. You need to repent of your sin. You need to come to Christ. You need to fall on your knees and say, Lord, I've sinned against You in the worst way. But I believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, took my place upon the cross. And He died for my sins. And I accept Him as my Savior. I believe He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. I believe that with all of my heart. If that's where your faith is, and you call upon the name of the Lord, God will save you. And you can have a part in this kingdom that is to come. If not, you will have no part in the kingdom whatsoever. You will be excluded from the kingdom completely. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you again for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. If you would ever desire either hard copy notes or a CD, if you would desire any of that, it's all free. All you need to do is write to us. And write, whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet in church or we see or meet around the radio, might you have a blessed week.